Well, I hope you enjoyed your meal and had some great conversation. We are going to go ahead and get our program started today. And I want to begin by introducing our speaker today, Steve Liguori, Executive Director, Global Marketing, the General Electric Company. Well, in doing some investigation, I learned that it took Steve Liguori, our guest speaker today, nearly 20 years to find his way to what is now his true love and passion, business-to-business marketing. In 1977, or actually 1980, I was corrected earlier, fresh with an MBA in marketing and management from the Marshall School of Business at USC, he joined Kraft Foods as a brand manager, rising over a period of years all the way to vice president of marketing. And I guess these were your bologna and bacon years, I believe, Steve, right? Okay. Then in 1991, he moved to and spent 4 years with Frito-Lay as vice president of marketing and as area VP, taking on additional responsibility in business management. And I understand two things he's known for from those Frito-Lay years is he was the man who started the halftime programs at the Super Bowl with Michael Jackson in 1993, who Frito-Lay borrowed from Pepsi. And he also launched the new and improved Doritos, and I understand with many of your staff distributing how many bags of Doritos around the country? 8 million bags in one day. He orchestrated that effort, which led to much additional success for Dorito and Frito-Lay around the country. So in these 19 years, I think it's 19, Steve, that you spent at Kraft and PepsiCo, publications like Ad Age and Brand Week routinely recognized Steve as one of the top consumer marketers in the United States. But business marketing started to beckon, I think, when in 1995 he left consumer packaged goods for good, as far as we know, we hope, to become head of banking, which included small business banking, at Citibank for North America. And I think it's a very appropriate trajectory. Move from consumer first to small business, and then, as you have done, to enterprise. Moving further up the food, or better yet, the money chain, Steve then joined Morgan Stanley in 2001 as Chief Marketing Officer for Global Wealth Management, back when there was still a reasonable amount of wealth to manage. In 2005, Steve made his move to GE, where he served for 3 years as Senior Vice President of Marketing at GE Money and CEO of GE Money Services. In November of 2008, he was handpicked and named GE's Executive Director of Global Marketing by GE Senior Vice President and Chief Marketing Officer Beth Comstock, to whom he reports. And in this newly created role, Steve is leading marketing transformation and customer-centric efforts across all of GE. He is driving the GE-wide marketing vision and working to embed best-in-class capabilities and talent through the entire organization. He's developing and guiding marketing functional curriculum and is serving as the executive sponsor of the Experienced Commercial Leadership Program in GE's various regional marketing councils. Steve did his undergraduate studies at Cornell University, where a course he took with famed astronomer Carl Sagan inspired another true love and passion, which he was surprised we knew about, amateur astronomy. In his talk today, titled Optimizing Today, Building Tomorrow, and Delivering Capabilities, Steve will tell us how he and his team are charting GE's trek to become a world-class marketing organization and to make marketing prowess yet one more source of competitive advantage for GE. I've seen Steve's presentation, and I've heard him speak before, and we are all in for a real treat today. Please give a warm BMA welcome to Steve Liguori.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Gary, and thank you, everyone. It's great to be here. I guess I got to wish Chicago luck on your bid tomorrow, so good luck for that. And I want to talk to you a little bit about the journey we're going through at GE to become a world-class B2B marketer. Now, I should probably start out by letting you know I'm on the, you know, if you listen to my background, I'm kind of on the 12-step recovery program from consumer marketing into B2B marketing. So you can kind of let me know as we go through this presentation how we're going. I did start my career. I'll take about a minute just to kind of give you the a little bit more flavor in the intro. I started out as a marketing trainee in the Oscar Mayer division of Kraft. And thinking if I'd thought ahead of time in Chicago, I would have changed that picture from a package of bacon to the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile, because I did get to actually drive that one day as a trainee. So that was probably the highlight of my thing, and I suspect most of you have seen it around the market here. So, you know, that maybe doesn't lend itself that well when I sit down with the guys trying to develop, let's say, our jet engines or, you know, these mega power plants around the world. But hopefully you're going to see as I go through here that the principles that we're trying to develop are very relevant, very real, really, really critical skill sets. And the more we think about it, even though we say, you know, B2B and competencies around B2B, the way we see about it, I mean, the idea of strategy and marketing, or whether it's consumer or business to business, is really about getting yourself close to the customer, taking advantage of the best tools, putting those insights together, and making them work. What my goal today is to give you the quick introduction to GE. I know most of you know about it, especially if you're in the B2B space, but then really try and focus on what we're doing. This is actually a real-time presentation in the sense that the stuff I'm showing you is the stuff we're doing right now. I did this talk four weeks ago, and there's a lot of updates from that, and in another couple of months, there's going to be more updates now, because we're actually rolling the stuff out I'm showing you. Literally, we're going to roll it out around the globe from GE. Now, why, for us, that's such a challenge and an opportunity is the breadth of the businesses that we have. Okay, we're probably, you know, not only the original conglomerate, you know, maybe we're the last conglomerate. So we've got divisions doing energy and healthcare. We're doing deep sea exploration in oil and gas. We do mega financing of, you know, major deals. We finance airlines. We finance engines. We do consumer credit cards. We have banks. We have all kinds of financial services. And then, of course, because it keeps coming up in the news, we have this little business called NBC Universal. So we are very much in the media space, and by definition, all the new digital media and everything else like that, you know, is not only over there, whether it be Hulu or God knows what it is, flows back into all our different businesses. So I think part of the unique challenge we have is the size of the business and also the scope of the business, not just in the number of businesses that we are, but we are truly a global company. We have GE operations in over 100 countries, and we have sizable businesses in all of these countries. And this is just, you know, kind of give you a flavor of how we're spread out around the world. And so trying to be at headquarters, but being in the headquarters for a global corporation, you got to think industries, you got to think geographies, and in my case, I'm trying to figure out, okay, and what is it about marketing? So unlike, let's say, my Kraft days or my Pepsi days, what is it about marketing that's common to everyone in every place at every level? So I'll take you through what we're doing about it, and then at the back half, I'm actually going to talk to you a little bit about how we're beginning to kind of socialize it across our only network. A little bit of extra background. This is stuff you probably intuitively know, but it's actually, I think, pretty cool to look at. We work with a lot of professors. We try and bring a lot of academics in. And Professor Ranjay Gulati at Harvard has got a very interesting study that hasn't been published yet, but he shared his work with us. And it's about, you know, what happens in a recession. You know, everyone knows what happens in a recession. You have winners and losers. But he's trying to figure out, why do you have winners? So his data quickly shows that, you know, about half the companies make it, half the companies don't make it. And obviously there's tons of small businesses in this data, and that's probably why it's not like you think, oh my God, half the companies don't go out of business, but actually about half of them actually do. And breakaway companies is what he's focusing on. And what he's learned from this is the standard stuff doesn't work. The standard stuff is you cut back, you streamline, you kind of survive. Now, I bet you if you're sitting there, you're saying, well, we've done exactly that. And to be honest with you, we've had to do that too. I mean, it has not been a fun year or 2 years to be in any kind of business, especially when you have a huge finance division as we have. But I don't think it's been fun in just about any areas. So what we've learned from working with him is the breakaway companies really, really try and focus on what can you do for this idea of providing customer solutions. That's the ticket, okay? How do you get close to your customer? Getting close to your customer, you know, marketing is filled with these phrases and saying where it's easy to say it, but man, it's really hard to do it right. And it's really, really difficult to understand with the rigor and the discipline and the expertise to become best in class. And that's what we're trying to figure out around customer solutions. What does that mean? How do you innovate? How do you get closer? You know, the basic thought is if you can be closer to customers now, when we all come out of the recession, Think of the opportunity that's there, and that's really what this learning is telling us. Now, the good news in our space is we actually have a number of successes that we can directly trace back to big economic downturns. GE Capital, which has gotten us so much press in the last year or so, has a history that goes back 75, 80 years now to actually the Great Depression. In the Great Depression, people who were probably our grandparents or even great-grandparents couldn't buy some of these great new appliances like washers and refrigerators and things like that. And GE came up with the idea of financing those appliance purchases for a way to get into the home. And that grew into a huge, huge business. But think of the innovation involved to do that. Here's a manufacturer saying, we're making these things like washing machines and refrigerators and stoves. People can't buy them. Well, let's help people buy them. Real great example of, I think, coming up with customer solutions. Jet engines and airplane engines came in as we were a big supplier to the military during World War II. World War II ended. We weren't building bombers anymore. That's when commercial aviation was taken off, and our guys said, well, let's swing over here and let's get in commercial aviation. Today, 50 years later, we have 70% share in the worldwide jet engine business. All the way up to emerging markets, when there was the mini crash now in 1997, long-term capital, you might recall that. You know, doesn't look like such a big deal at the time, now than it was at the time. We said, you know what, we got to double down on emerging markets. And we made big inroads by putting people and resources in places like India, China, Brazil, et cetera, all of which are paying off a big time right now. So we've got some of this stuff. But as we were doing all this, I want to take you through kind of the journey of what we've learned. And I'm not trying to imply that, you know, that many of the companies have, let's say, maybe the resources and the depth to go do this, but I hope you have the commitment to take the leadership to go figure it out. So we can do a global survey, and we did a global survey that cost a fortune of our own employees. And I want to show you four things you might be shocked to know about GE Marketing. I joined GE Marketing the year before this was done, 2005, and let me tell you, I was shocked. Here I'm joining, you know, GE, one of the world's best brands, most respected companies, and you find out the first one there says 66% of GE marketers, so this is inside GE, have no formal marketing training. No formal marketing training. How do you run a marketing department? Those of you who came out of consumer goods, you know, you'd probably like fall off your chair. I fell off my chair. They said, Steve, settle down. This is not that big a deal. Because in GE, none of the marketers have marketing training. That's kind of why we're hiring guys like you. I still fell off the chair. Less than 5 years experience, 66% of us also had less than 5 years experience. GE is a deep, deep culture. Okay, you kind of, you know, cut your teeth in your first 5 years at GE. You know, the experts in GE are the people that have 20, 25, 30. They are the real GE. So all these whippersnappers coming in, you're not really in positions of authority to do anything. 50% of the marketers are outside the U.S. And yes, even though we're a global company, clearly our sweet spot still is in the United States. And if you look there at the growth rates, that's what that last one is. And where are we hiring most of the people? We're hiring them around the globe. So we did two things when we found that out. And by the way, I don't think the history of that is very different for many B2B companies, right? You get your domain expertise, whatever the industry it is you're in, and you get someone who's got kind of a little different flavor, and you say, you know what? You can help out in the marketing department. And that's just kind of how it is. I mean, that's not necessarily a value judgment, but that's what we did. So if you want to be in marketing, let's say in the aviation division I mentioned, you know, what do you think your background probably was? Well, you're probably an aircraft engineer in some way, shape, or form, and you probably love flying. You've probably spent your whole career in aviation. Whoosh. That doesn't make them bad people, but it doesn't make them trained in the skills of marketing. So the next step we did is we did this capability guide. We then went back to the community and actually asked everyone to do a self-assessment of yourself. And so we brought that back and said, wow, our people, so now we know they're not necessarily trained in marketing. We actually know what they don't know and what they do know. And what we found out is the vast majority of them were people who were trained in areas like communication and sales support. This is kind of the timeline of our journey. And I think if you think again B2B, that's probably shouldn't be surprising. You come up with a new product, you got a new sales initiative, let's go do a press release and let's go make sure we support the sales organization to go help them sell it. My boss, Beth Comstock, came in 2003 to the job of CMO. By the way, another fun tidbit, Beth, who was then and is now the CMO, is the first chief marketing officer of the General Electric Corporation, and that happened in 2003. Okay, we're 130 years old, only remaining member of the Dow Jones. She's the first person ever to have the title and actually the job. So that's how young and I think immature the function is within GE. So she came in and said, we got to get these commercial capabilities. So we began to build a lot of operational rig around what does it take to make sure marketing is engaged in the business. So things up there like consumer insights, customer insights, operational rigor, Salesforce excellence. You know, these are all the things a traditional marketing organization gets involved in. Let's get involved in them. Okay, that then went to saying, all right, what's going to be the next step? What's this vision? And the vision now is we want to be gold standard. Very simply, we want to make gold standard marketing sales our next generation sustainable competitive advantage in the marketplace. And you see names up there like Apple and P&G. Okay, I say innovation, I bet you 8 out of 10 of you are going to say Apple. I say world-class consumer marketing, I bet you 8 out of 10 of you are going to say a company like Procter & Gamble. Now, interestingly enough, if I say world-class financial excellence or maybe management training, you probably might say something like, oh, GE, they got Six Sigma, they've got all those finance wonks, they've got, you know, leadership training that's been written up in Fortune and Harvard Business Review. So we know how to, you know, when we put our mind to it, really make things work. And I guess I want to encourage you, you know, every one of your organizations that you're part of, you know how to get your mind around things and make it a core competency. And what we're trying to challenge our marketing organization is we're going to make marketing a core competency. So the challenge, of course, is what the heck does that mean? So we step back once again, and we kind of have come up with a what we think is a simple but hopefully insightful kind of message in terms of how to frame it. They're my two prior employers, and I like to think about, you know what, we had very, very, very mature marketing capabilities. And you know, the great thing about packaged goods is they're world-class for a reason. They focus in on what are consumers looking for, and they got very sophisticated tools to do that. So the sophistication, at least historically, let's say it's not been so much in the product, but it's been in the differentiation of the product and the delivery and the message and the brand all around it, making a lot of money for shareholders, right? You take a look at companies like us and maybe other historically high-tech companies like IBM, big in manufacturing, and where have they focused their organization's energy? Okay, it's around the product leadership, right? What are the features? What are the technology? Who are the people? The technology people, the engineers, the finance folks, they drive that. And what do you need to get more sales? If you step back and go back over the last 50 years, the way you won in B2B is, let's call it the next best mousetrap, right? The faster computer, the bigger engine, the more efficient this, and that has really, really sold. Well, what we think's happening now is the world is forcing a merger of those two things. I think you got companies like P&G coming in on one end, and you clearly have companies like Google and Apple on the other end. I won't go through it, but I got a whole thing I do internally around, let's go through the business model of some of these companies. And since we got Google here, I'll do Apple to give you a point of comparison, but some very, very similar. You know, you think of Apple on the surface as a consumer company, but where are they making most of their money? If you go through the math, they're making 80 to 90% of their money on the B2B side of Apple. Okay, if you go buy a docking station, which I bet you there's no one here who's got an iPhone or an iPod that hasn't bought an accessory to go with it. Apple doesn't make any of those accessories. They license the Apple software so that you can plug it in and it works. So how much capital is involved in that from Apple? Answer, zero. Margin, pretty good. Okay, you take 10% of the sales, it drops to the bottom line. What threshold did they cross this week with apps? Anybody pick that up in the news? 2 billion. 2 billion apps. Now, if you dug down, and it wasn't in the press release, because this is not a bragging thing for Apple, they've downloaded 2 billion apps. The average price of an app, you put them all, you know, all 85,000 together, average price is $3 an app. They take, so that's what, $6 billion in revenue. Zero capital invested, because of course all outside developed. Apple takes 30% off the top. Now, I'm not in finance for a reason, I'm in marketing, but what's 30% of $6 billion? A lot of money, exactly, right answer. See, marketing folks do know, you know, the difference between a lot of money and a little bit of money. That's a lot of money with no capital. That to me is not differentiating your product. That's coming up with simple solutions in a complex world. If you spend the time to dig through their websites, their iTunes contracts, the technology to build that, the various B2B arrangements with various suppliers, managing 85,000 vendors just in the app space, that is incredibly complicated until you come to the interface with the customer. Okay? That is incredibly simple for us as customers. And that's not a B2B or B2C or even a B2B distinction. That's about coming up with simple solutions in a complex world. And I think that's where you're going to find world-class companies moving in the future. So this is what's underlying our gold standard vision. Now, come back inside GE, I'm trying to do a little bit, you know, inside-outside here, is why it's so important for us to figure out how this all fits together is you got to think about how's it going to work. Now, how it's going to work with us is, this is obviously very, very stylized, how it's going to work here is what we're trying to deliver is you got to grow the business, okay? To me, marketing has never been about the pictures and the creative, although those are all important. It's never been about building the brand directly for the sake of building the brand. It's doing all the stuff to get better business results. Our gold standard vision now is around three components. One component is skills. That's how we do it, and that's the piece we've pretty much got locked down now. Who we do it with, which is, you know, the best people trained and recognized with the best capabilities. And then the what we do is around the what the heck do you do from a prioritization and resource standpoint. In other words, help me sort it out. And simplistically speaking, the way we're helping people sort it out is I actually do my quarterly priorities to my boss around optimize today, build for the future, and enable the organization. I literally put it in those three buckets. So I want to take you through the first area. This is where we're kind of like, I'd say 80% done with this, 60% done with the next, and 20% done with the third step. This has been, I got in the job, Gary mentioned, the end of last year. So I got 10 months now in the job. I can't tell you the amount of depth and rigor and consultation that's gone into figuring this out. And the point here is, what is it do you need? It's a very simple concept. What do you need today to be a world-class marketer? Well, my God, it's crazy. You know, if you think about all the areas you have to deal with today, we're trying to do that. Now, within the marketing community, we're trying to have this discussion. But what's always upfront in our mind is, I showed you how immature we are as an organization. So think about this. If 66% of the marketers don't have any formal marketing training, what percent of the general managers and the rest of the business don't have any marketing training? Like a lot, right? So by definition, a lot higher. So how are we going to go in with this world-class sophisticated vision and go get non-marketers to understand what the heck we're talking about? So we said, you know what we got to do? We got to come up with kind of a peel the onion approach. We got to come up with something so that depending upon where you sit, you can focus your lens in at an appropriate place in the model and get value out of it. So we said the first thing we got to do is we got to come up with broad subject matter areas that can make sense to anyone, whether you're in marketing or out of marketing. And the broad areas we came up with, so we got this first one called the go-to-market process. And I put in for my GE colleagues, there's something we used to use internally called CECOR, C-Core, which was kind of our first marketing model on what we're going to use for GE. So it's an internal thing, but it's a pretty powerful internal thing. And I just kind of illustrate this here to show people where it's been and where it's going. It's now going to these four steps called go-to-market, the go-to-market process. And then we said, you know what? It's not complete enough. Those four areas on the bottom, what we're calling commercial essentials, kind of talks about all the things, you know, different marketing organizations are responsible for different things. Some places sales reports to marketing, some places it's separate. Some places branding and communication is a core marketing capabilities. In other organizations, it's separate. So we recognize that because in GE, it's like that depending upon what division you go into. So we pulled off those things, strategy and innovation, sales force effectiveness, branding, communication. And there's that funky one. I think I'm going to probably put it in its own color going forward called New World Skills. What the heck is that crazy thing? Okay, well, half the people I met out in the lobby are involved in the new world skills. And what we concluded through many just kind of, you know, cups of coffee with Beth and I and some of the other with the other marketing members is, you know what? We actually have to create a category to make sure we can park the things we know we need to figure out how to do, but we're smart enough to know we don't know how to do them. So I can go in and say market knowledge, there's a series of tools in there to go do that. There's a series of principles pretty well documented, but there are these new tools coming, like how do you use the internet maybe to go get knowledge, you know, in the very broad sense. Well, that's a whole new application, but the principle of market knowledge doesn't change. The principles of segmentation and targeting don't change. So we have parked that as an area that we will perpetually, the goal is hopefully this is going to stick around for 5 or 10 years, and we'll roll things through there as appropriate to come up with these new world skills. So it's amazing for me to look at this and say, wow, okay, we now have 8 things we can talk about to the businesses, 8 major skill areas. And for 9 months of work, it's like I guess it took me a month per to get that put together with the team. I'm going to tell you how we did that and how we developed in a middle here. Pretty cool story. So what we've done is we're now making available to the organization fact, this is literally a scan of it because it says draft up on the top, is we've put together a gold standard fact book. It's not only available online as you'd expect, but I've also printed a couple hundred copies of these. Somebody came to me and said, hey, Steve, you know what? Print is the new black. I print, actually, to be honest with you, I printed 50 of these, and the phone won't stop ringing. My poor secretary's going crazy. I got to send another 20 to the GE Capital people, or I got to send another 10 to the NBC people or something like that. People want a hard copy of what this book is. And what the book is, it takes each of those, let's call them chevrons or slices in the pie, and it describes what it is. So let's take a quick tour of one of the skills under market knowledge. What you find if you go through this book is each of these major subject areas, and here's where it transitions from explaining it to your CEO to sitting down with the head of marketing research in your business and saying, do we have these skills? And each of those has 4 to 5 sub-areas. There's 35 specific skills underneath those 8 areas. So one of them happens to be in this guide, identify external trends and influences. Okay, that's one of the specific skill areas you need to have to become an expert in market knowledge. And we've put together a little universe, a little ecosystem around each of these skill areas. And it's going to grow and expand over time. But what we like to be able to do is say, okay, let's make sure we all get on the same page. You ever had that discussion when you're talking about a term and it occurs to you like halfway through the conversation that the person you're talking to is having the exact same discussion but is in a totally different place? Okay, I'm talking segmentation. They're talking segmentation. I'm talking price, and I'm thinking about, I don't know, price elasticity or strategy, and they're talking about, what's the discount I'm going to give to the customer. So the first thing we said, you know what, one definition. Okay, so we worked really, really hard with marketing teams to bolt down the definition. Oh, what's the ability to? So if you kind of go around this horn, you see it's got internal examples, it's got external examples, it's got a case study, it's got tools, all of which we have online. Oh, by the way, I'd say the vast majority of the tools are not GE-specific tools. They're publicly available tools. You can go find them, too. So there are links to external websites as well as internal websites. There's, of course, a link to a library internally. And then down on the bottom left, you can see these little boxes that are red, yellow, green, and gold. Where this is going to roll out starting January 1 is every division is going to actually do a self-audit. We'll come in and audit the self-audit, if you would, and is going to rate their capabilities across every one of these specific 35 areas, roll it up to the 8, and then roll it up to a level that's then going to get reviewed with the vice chairman and ultimately with Jeff Immelt, our CEO. Real quick background, so how the heck did we get this? This is kind of the, you can go do this too without maybe spending the money and the time and the effort that we did. Coincidentally, McKinsey has a wheel. I like the idea of a wheel. They have 10 skills. There's lots of places, I guess what I want to point out here, there's lots of places you can go to go build your model that you're comfortable with. And you can pick it relatively quickly or you can spend a lot of time digging through it like we did. We are such a strong culture across so many businesses and geographies. It was really critical for us to build it from within. And we probably incorporated, I'd say, a couple of hundred GE marketers literally across the globe to help us build. That's very important for us culturally. So I couldn't go grab something from McKinsey, but of course we used it as input. ISBM, that I'm sure many of you are associated with, I know I am and Gary is, they've got a model. They have a 5-step model. So we researched their model and we took pieces from that. Marketing Leadership Council, if you're involved with the Executive Leadership Board, AMA, everybody's got something. There are lots of places where you can go. I mentioned P&G before. We do some top-to-tops with P&G and some benchmarking, and we checked out what P&G has. And you know what? We like what we have a lot better than P&G. Why? Because it works for us. So P&G's got what works for them. We now have what works for us. So that's the whole area of skills and how we're going through skills. From a people standpoint, we are now taking it to the next step. What we're doing in the next step is all those new skills are going into a new and improved capability guide. Now, we have about 5,000 people in marketing, and our goal is that next spring, all 5,000 GE marketers will go through this marketing capability guide as a personal self-assessment. Now, if you happen to work in pricing, you're probably not going to do the one that says branding and communications and vice versa. So we'll get customized to what area you are. If you think back to that wheel, the top areas we want every marketer to know, that go-to-market process, and then the bottom is specialized by, if you're involved in it, you do that. If not, you don't do that. And then we got these marketing rock stars and these things called four I traits. I don't think this is necessarily uniquely GE. I mean, these terms are unique to GE. In fact, I even heard Suzanne talking about marketing rock stars, so I think you guys took that term term from us, because this is something we've coined internally, where we recognize every quarter marketing expertise now linked back to our gold standard vision, and we recognize individuals at our quarterly executive marketing meeting who we actually fly into the meeting and recognize them as doing a best practice to illustrate what it takes. Underneath that, we've built these four I's, and that's kind of like it gets away from the specific skills, and we like to think about it, talks a little bit about the leadership DNA, at least that's the way we talk about it, and we've got definitions and internal examples of what's an instigator, what's an integrator, what's an innovator, and what's an implementer. And I think for every one of you in this room, assuming we're all marketers, you probably can look at each of those and said, I've been one of those at every point in my career, and that's exactly the point. But what we're trying to bring out is, you know what, you probably got maybe a core competency there, and in the role that you are, you've got to do that. So in this role, I mean, I've had elements of all of them, but at the end of the day, I've probably had to be, let's say, an integrator on this. I got to pull stuff from all over the globe. I got to pull stuff from all areas of expertise, internally, externally, and you know what? I got to now go implement it, and that I got to make sure that the organization buys it, embraces it, and doesn't say, well, you know, thanks, that's great. Let me just put it on the shelf. We're not doing all this so we have this great fancy program. We plan, and we're going to drive this baby all the way through our culture. The last piece of it, which is directly connected to the people, sorry, the last part of the people piece is, you know, it's great to find all these gaps and to say all these skills. You got to train people. And the names here don't really mean anything. The idea is we have built a pyramid of training. And again, you can go to ISBM, you can go to AMA, you can get a lot of this training. We've customized it around GE so we can get GE people and GE needs in there. And what we like to think is we now have skills at the early level, mid-career level, management level, and executive level so that you can get marketing training commensurate with what you need to be in the organization. And the cool thing from our perspective is you're going to go to one of these seminars and you're going to be sitting next to a person from GE and you're from Aircraft Engines and someone else is selling CAT scans to the hospital. And what we have finally pulled together is you all need the same skill sets if you're in marketing. Okay? It's not that marketing and healthcare is different from marketing and energy. The industries are different, but the skill sets aren't different. Also built into here, and you can see new is I'm adding new courses directly to reflect what we've got back in that wheel, and we got a great HR department that helps support this, is a lot of these, the more junior courses, are now being done with what we call blended learning. So it's like getting an MBA online, but it's not online as you do it yourself. There's a class. It's scheduled. The professor is on the phone when you're on the phone. So you might have 20 people around the globe, but there's a class in session, and you're expected to deliver homework. There's Q&A. There's real-time chat on the phone or Skype or whatever they're doing, and it's really, really kind of innovating around the whole area of how we deliver training. The last piece of it is the prioritization, and as I mentioned, we're kind of like 80, 60, 20% complete in each of these areas. This is the one we're going to get. This is where you got to deliver like your annual marketing plan and get your budgets, but as I mentioned, we're now encouraging the CMOs. I'm doing it with Beth, is I'm putting my quarterly priorities in these three buckets. What am I doing to help the businesses today? What am I doing to make sure we can make our numbers in, let's say, 2012 and 2014? And what am I doing to make sure it sticks? Okay? And I think marketers are uniquely charged within their businesses to make sure you're touching all three of these things. You know, think about your general manager and your CEOs. Business is so tough today. They are trying to make that, especially if you're public like we are. Okay? You got to make that next quarter. You got to make the year. Well, we know that. And we all appreciate that. And by God, we got to do things to help them. But the more you get up to where we are in headquarters, the more we're working on building the future, which is a lot of the stuff I showed you. And then obviously by translation, how is it going to enable the organization by making it stick? And this is the measures. I showed you that red, yellow, green, and gold. A lot of discussion around this. So we've asked marketing experts to help us for each of those categories define what is it. So when you do your own review for your department, you get the lineup under one of these so-called maturity levels. And over on the right there, we're having some real interesting dialogue is, so who says you're GE best in class? And more importantly, so who exactly is going to decide that you're industry best in class? And we've had some pretty cool internal discussions with folks who have sent back their self-evaluations because we've piloted this in half a dozen businesses where you get to say, well, that's interesting. They say they're gold in this competency, but yet they're losing market share, so somehow it doesn't connect. So we're going to make sure it connects, but it's been a talk about an eye-opener. It's a great process. And what one of the CMOs said who did this pilot, he said, for the first time, A, I'm not a trained marketer. This is one of our CMOs speaking. But this has been a home run because I can talk to my team about training, retention, and hiring, because we now have a common language to use. And I can now, for the first time, go to my CEO and say, this is why I need to hire these people. We have gaps in these areas. This is the official menu, if you would, or blueprint for GE that says, here's what you need to be world class. Don't we want to be world class? And we might not get there tomorrow, but we need a path to get there. So it's letting a lot of CMOs now go talk about resources and tools and things like that to get it put together. Wanted to make sure I talked. I've mentioned a couple times we engage the community. I wanted to let you know a little bit about what we're doing to engage the community, because I think this is all part of this whole area of new world skills and where the heck the world is heading right now. We built an internal combination of Facebook, Wikis, LinkedIn, YouTube. I guess you can tweet on this if you want to. I personally don't, but you can. And we have in GE a bunch of affinity groups that are already longstanding and established. So, for instance, GE's Women's Network is one of the affinity groups that's inside GE that's been around for years and years and has lots of connections. It's about mentorship. It's about leadership. It's about all these great things. But what we did is we put all this online for GE's marketing community. And so we've actually built a community around marketing. This is within our firewalls, and maybe it'll go out of the firewall someday. But we have our own combination of connecting marketers, and you can come in and do, you know, like, you know, anything you're going to do on Facebook or LinkedIn, you can do right here. The difference is you can find the people in GE are doing it. So imagine some of the businesses we go through. I'll give you a real example. We had someone from our aviation business in India ask a question about, I don't understand how to do segmentation. Let me tell you what the problem is. So they put a blog out on it. Within 48 hours, that blog had gotten responded to from someone in GE Capital in London. It got responded from someone from GE Healthcare in Milwaukee. It got responded then by someone in, I'm not even sure what division it was, but it came out of Brazil. It literally zinged around the globe, and within 48 or 72 hours, this person's sitting in front of their boss in India and saying, how the heck did you find this out? I mean, because it was like, you know, detailed, factual answers to do it. Well, they found it out by connecting across our business. Imagine the complexity of the way you think about yourself in GE is you think first what business you're in. So you hear me mentioning all these divisions. So you're in energy, or you're in NBC, or you're in healthcare. That's a division you're in. You then think, second, what's the function that you're in within the business, because we're very functionally oriented as well. And then thirdly, you think about, okay, where am I located from a geography? We refer to them as poles. So am I in Europe or Asia or Americas or something like that? So we just got this, I mean, come on, we got 350,000 employees. So it's sometimes tough for us to talk to each other. And I found in my initial months in the job, part of what brought this online community to life is I just kept stumbling upon the same wheel being invented over and over and over again. Hey, Steve, we don't have a good competitive monitoring system. Let me show you the one we built. And I'd get on a plane and I'd be someplace else. Hey, Steve, we don't have a good competitive monitoring system. Let me show you the one we built. So after you see the same thing happen six times and you find out with, you know, limited budget, limited resources, limited expertise, they did the best they could, but, oh, by the way, did a pretty good job given the parameters around them, it popped into my head, my God, there's new technology that can connect us. So our goal with this is any marketer, any division, any level, any geography can find someone who's got the expertise to do that. So that's why it's got all the functionality you find pretty much on any social or professional network out there. And so what we did is we built it, because this is for the marketing community. The way we built it is we did some quick surveys and focus groups with the marketers, and they said build it around areas of marketing expertise. So we got an innovation community, a market knowledge and intelligence community, a market segmentation community, a value prop and pricing community, a customer experience community, and a MarCom community. Okay? Pretty cool. Happens to pretty much cover that wheel that I showed you before. And so within these communities, people are volunteering to do this. I introduced this last summer. Within 60 days of doing this, 40% of GE's global community has voluntarily signed up to use this. And every time I check, it's going ka-chunk, ka-chunk, ka-chunk in terms of activity. In fact, we're upgrading our own internal website. It's being announced on a call with Beth and I next week. In fact, a week from today, whole new generation of it, new technology, much more features, and we're announcing leadership from the businesses to do this, because at least within our culture, that's how it works. If we lead it from headquarters, it becomes kind of it has the risk of the bureaucracy. That's what those headquarters folks are doing. And within our culture, when someone from the business says, hey, I think it's great, in fact, I'm using it, That's what brings it credibility. And that's at the end of the day, that's how we're going to grow the business, by getting the business to use it. So it's a really, really cool tool. And you can see 40% of our marketers have already signed up. And every day I know we get more and more people to do it. So I've raced through a lot of stuff here. Why are we doing this all? You know, we try and step back sometimes and say, you know, there's some big things that we want to do. We want to be global. We want to drive innovation. We want to build relationships. We want to leverage our strengths. Every time I look at that, which is what our chairman, Jeff Immelt, loves to talk about what he's trying to do with GE, I'm thinking about how can the marketing community be at the forefront of helping our company get there. When we announce major initiatives like Eco-Imagination, which is our drive to help make a greener planet, and we say, you know what, it's not just about saying we're green, it's delivering on it. We've got $17 billion of revenue last year from that, and we have 75 new products certified green by outside third agencies. That's the kind of impact we're looking for, and that's the kind of things we hope we can do. We just literally 60 days ago, maybe 90 days ago now, introduced this thing called Healthy Imagination. It's our next big cross-business global initiative trying to help make the world a healthier place. You know, this is independent of the debate going on in Washington. Not that we're absence of that, but we want, you know, this is a global need. Okay, you got to get people lower costs, you got to get better access to healthcare, and you got to improve the quality of healthcare. And we got a lot of initiatives driving that right now. We continue to try and get ourselves placed in areas, and I think we continue to be a thought leader in a lot of things. This just came out on the wires literally last week, how GE is disrupting itself. A lot of the stuff that I'm talking about around innovation and the need for market skills and customer knowledge, things like that, are kind of in this article written by our chairman and a professor from Tuck up in Dartmouth. Really, really good stuff. I'd encourage you to read it when it comes out in a week or two. We're driving innovation, okay? Every time I see Beth, my boss, it's like, what are we doing to drive innovation? And she's particularly into it. You can go check Business Week. She was just ranked as one of the top 50 global innovators. We push innovation like crazy, because if you're not innovating, you're going to go stale. And if you're not going to go, and if you go stale, you're going to get run over by your competition. So you talk about those successful companies. How do you get closer to customers? You got to take some chances. And sometimes those chances mean you got to go innovate in new areas. And Beth is particularly a champion of leading that. The Healthy Imagination push that just came out, she was the one that convinced Jeff Immelt that we had to go do this. Yeah, and then does it pay off? Well, you know, it's been a tough year. But I tell you, this just came out like 10 days ago. We're still ranked the number 4 most valuable global brand. It's a heck of a lot better than, our branding has done better than our stock, which I think long-term is a good thing, right? And that, you know, there's room for us to come back. And, you know, we're up in pretty good company with Coke, IBM, Microsoft, and ourselves there. So I think it's a testament to how there really is long-term value in this stuff. And, you know, the strongest brands are ultimately going to be the ones that win. But saying you're a strong brand doesn't cut it anymore. You've got to have the capabilities built underneath that with the people lined up, trained, and equipped to go do this. And that's really what we're trying to do. So my summary and kind of almost my wish for you is, you know, you can get your hands around this too. We are very proud of what we've accomplished. We're sure not declaring victory, but we really think we're onto something with this gold standard vision and trying to push ourselves and our marketing organization to a better place and a much, much more disciplined and rigorous place to understand all the complexity. So the way you got to do it is you got to get in the game, okay? Go jump in. Go do something. We don't have all the answers, but we do now have a blueprint or a model, okay? We have got in our heads, and this to me is like, you know, been the greatest accomplishment of my first year in this job, is we can now explain, hopefully if I explain to you, you know, we actually have a vision and there's a model underneath that vision. What do you have a model in your organization? Okay, what are you going to do with your team to get them motivated and get them pointed in the right direction? And I know 98% of you can't build your own, but as I showed you, you can go get some, you know, you can go get pretty smart pretty quickly by seeing what's available out there and then adapt it to yourself. And then this whole gold standard results, to me, this is the time for marketing. And I am excited about being in B2B. When I joked and I came up here, is this is where the world's going. It's not about B2B or B2C anymore. It's about coming up with these solutions. It's coming up with simple solutions the complex problems. And I think business is increasingly leading the way in that because we have the goods from a technology standpoint and from a service standpoint, and the whole world is looking for the stuff that we've got. So I'd encourage you, get up on that horse if you've been knocked off by the recession, because it's definitely doable, and you can win with this stuff, but you got to have a plan within your own organization to do it. So that's my talk, and thank you very much.
In 10 months, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I had a lot of help from a lot of great colleagues.
Oh, I know you did. I know you did. Well, we have a gold standard marketer of our own here who's going to lead the Q&A session. I want to introduce someone who really doesn't need an introduction, but you all know Michael Krause, former president of BMA, a board member, and he's going to lead today's Q&A. But before I bring him up to the podium, I want you to know that Michael has, in his career, has a special affinity for and deep understanding of what Steve is doing at GE, having been deeply involved in marketing education, both as a marketing executive and consultant. Michael helped US West, for example, now Quest, develop the Marketing Academy, and has developed and taught marketing programs at AT&T and Xerox, as well as serving on the faculty of the New Products Laboratory at the University of Chicago, his alma mater. So Michael Krause, come on up and lead the Q&A. Michael? Give Michael a hand. I'm going to use the handheld. All right, so can you all hear me up there? No? How about now?
Is it on?
Yeah. Okay, great. Great. Was that an incredible presentation? Give this man a hand. So, Steve, my first question is, aside from I want to know what it was really like in that hot dog plant when you started out. We'll come back to that.
Come back to that later. Quick answer is A, fantastic, and B, yes. Fantastic in that just unbelievable energy, commitment, intelligence, just the vigor to, we're gonna go do this. I mean, I think the whole world was like, ready to throw its hands up, and Jeff was like, every day we're gonna get this, we're gonna do this, we're taking our lumps, but we're gonna do it. I mean, in the darkest days of the stock, he was still very much, we're going to get this, and we're taking our lumps, and boy, we were taking our lumps, as lots of people were, but we've got a great franchise. He gave us like a list of things to do, and there were like four major things we had to do as leaders, and one of those, number one was protect the franchise. Do the right thing for GE and stand up for GE. And he would say, I want you to talk to your friends. I want you to talk to your relatives. I want you to get out in cocktail parties and damn it and tell them, we've got some bruises, but, we're still, A, we're making money. We're involved in technology. He doubled down. I'm convinced one of the reasons Beth won the award as one of the top global innovators is her and Jeff working together have, I can't tell you what the percentage because I don't know, but we have increased the amount and percentage of our innovation and our R&D budget during a time when revenues were going down. So if that doesn't support innovation and, by extension, marketing, I don't know what else is. And Gary mentioned briefly in my introduction that I'm the executive sponsor for what, in essence, is our marketing hiring program. We hire about 100 to 125 MBAs a year around the globe, and they're on a two-year training program, so we have 250 of them at any given time. Not only did we keep that going during this incredible recession, we didn't hold the numbers exactly even, but we came damn close. And considering what the world was going through, including us, to keep hiring new talent because we want new ideas, and Jeff supporting marketing, I think makes a heck of a statement about that.
Okay, real commitment. That's great. Thank you. Talk to me about MarketNet or MarkNet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how did you build it, and how in the world did you get 40% of the marketers out there or the organization to – we'd love to have that kind of participation.
Yeah.
Tell us more about it. And how did you get that participation?
Well, the guy who was in charge of it for me is a great. In fact, he's a graduate of this marketing leadership program at GE that works for me now. He said the way we got it built is Steve said, I'm tired of talking about it. We're launching it in 6 weeks, so go figure
it out.
But what he did is he went and he recruited a team of 12 of these, I'm going to use the term ECLP because that's what it's called in GE, Experience Commercial Leadership Program. He went and got a dozen ECLPs, called them, I can't say in a room because half of them are around the globe, but got them on a conference call in a room and said, we got this challenge, we want to build it, would you guys be interested? And what do you think they all said? They all said, are you kidding? This is how we live every day. When is GE going to get with it? You know, we're networked every day. GE's not networked every day. They went and found some technology people. That group of 12 found another 12 that found another 12 within GE. And all of a sudden, we got reviews. I'm looking at web pages and how they get connected. And the guys from technology said, you know what? We'd love someone to take the lead on stuff that they've been thinking about but never got done. So we got it built that way. The way we launched it is we got Beth one day and we did a global webcast. Okay, it was actually a global video webcast. Mm-hmm. So we invited the GE marketing community, hey, watch this special announcement. We're going to do some cool stuff. So we launched it there with the support of Beth. And then all the sign-ons just kind of flow through. And like I said, we got like a burst of activity. Then it quieted down. And now it's moving up. So how did 40% of the people join? They joined because someone told them about it and said, hey, you should join. Get on this thing. And when we launch the second generation next week, I'm sure we're going to get even more. More
outstanding. Real organic. That's great.
So very, very much organic.
All right, back to that hot dog plant. back at Kraft,
yeah.
You're working out in a plant in L.A. I mean, as you graduate from Cornell, mm-hmm. you go to the USC, get your MBA. What was the biggest skill gap you had as a marketer that you wish, looking back, had been filled? I'm sure you filled it by now, but what were the gaps early on?
I actually, you know, there's probably not too many. I'm looking at this around. This is a pretty experienced group. But it took me years to realize that probably the gap I had was, I'd have to say, in the financial acumen, just mm-hmm. understanding how business works. I'm not talking about, you know, I made that crack about it. I'm not a CFO for a reason. But you know what? Especially in the B2B world, I think that's where a lot of marketers fall down. It really did take me years to figure that out. Is you gotta know your way around a P&L on a balance sheet. You gotta understand cash flow. You gotta understand. I mean, this stuff costs money. And someone says, I'm long past the days where I can go in and say, what do you mean? Why don't you just give me $100,000 to go, you know, test that over there? You gotta figure out, you know, what are you gonna do for me? And there's a today and there's a tomorrow. But I would say broadly speaking, that was probably the biggest gap I wish young marketers got training, and I would encourage young marketers to get experience. I'm not saying go into finance, but I'm saying go hug a finance person so you can understand how it works and get yourself up to speed. And it kind of like with me was when I joined Citibank, it's kind of like a bug hitting the windshield. It was like, whoa, I went from pushing potato chips and stuff like that to dealing with bankers, and it's a little different world.
Cool. But as marketers, should we be covering that whole circle of skills? I think there were 8 of them up there. Or should we be focusing?
We've tried to do a hybrid, and we had that knockdown, drag-out debate every time. And the reason why I say it's a hybrid is if you think back on it, it was kind of two color schemes. It's kind of blue on the top and purple on the bottom. What we've challenged every marketer in GE, what we will be when we officially roll this out, is everybody's got to learn that what we're calling the go-to-market step. It's kind of like your 4 P's. If you learn it, you know, how do you get from idea out into the market? So we want everyone in GE's marketing to have a good, solid understanding of that.
So know all 8.
Know the top 4.
Top 4.
Know
okay.
the top 4, and as necessary, based upon your job, pick from the remaining 4.
Got it. What about career path? I mean, some CMOs say, hey, I just want to do my craft. Mm-hmm. I never want to be CEO. What do you tell that nucleus of marketers across GE? Do they have a room to be a division president?
I think if I have a wish for the marketing team going forward, and so does Beth, and so does Jeff Immelt, is that marketers in the future are getting into CEO roles all across GE. We love to tell our marketing trainees when they graduate, hopefully the next CEO of GE, or not maybe the next, but with future CEO of GE is sitting in the room, and we really absolutely believe that's where they should aspire to be. I personally tell any of the junior marketers who I mentor, and that's quite a bit, that you need to make yourself solid. You need a core. Okay, you need a foundation that no one can ever knock you off. It's kind of like, you know, when you go to the gym and they say you got to get your core built up if you're going to get in shape. You got to get your core built up as a core marketer. So of those 8 things on that wheel, pick 1 or 2 that is your foundation. Oh, by the way, I don't know. You know, you might know at this point in your career. Do you want to go as a general manager? Do you want to go as a CMO, or do you want to go as a specialist? Let's say in pricing or branding or something like that. I don't think that matters early on in the career. What I think matters early in the career is get yourself to be an expert in something, and then you can figure out how to grow from there.
All right, so Jack Welch talks about breaking out of the scrum, right? Mm-hmm. He says when you're a young person at GE, you got to find a way to really differentiate yourself. There are young folks out here in this mm-hmm. audience. how should they as marketers differentiate themselves and break out of the scrum?
Well, to me, it's the delivery on that skill set. So if you make the commitment to say I'm going to be an expert in something, the way I encourage people to deliver it is I got this kind of thing in my head called 70-20-10, and you'll see this in various people talk about. You know, 70% do your day job and make sure you get that right. That's the core. 20% is do something new but related to your core job. So your boss says, hey, that's pretty interesting. I think that's neat. So you can then go to the boss and say, I got this crazy idea with the last 10% of my time. Can I go have that? You can't get the luxury of doing that because if you're a young person in your career, that's kind of like how you come in every day. I want to do this. You gotta understand that there's a path to get there. Do your job first. Become great at your job. Expand your job. And then go ask for the flyby from left field. I want to go take a flyer.
Let's go out to the audience and take a couple of questions. We've got people with microphones. Who wants to go first? Go ahead, Lynn.
Hi. I'm a stockholder, so I'm very excited to hear about your new developments.
Great.
And I'm also a recruiter in the
talent
business.
She bought at six.
And I'm also a recruiter in the talent business in marketing and communications. So you've outlined the progressive steps that marketers will be going through to enhance their learning. And you talked about hiring MBA people. So is your goal to hire wannabe marketers from the get-go as opposed to taking them from different business units and then enhancing their skills and then they become marketers? Can you comment on that?
Yeah, great question. I can give you a very clear answer. Our goal is to do both. We hire about 60% of the people on that commercial training program from MBA schools. But they are only MBAs with experience. I'd say on average 5 to 7 years working experience before they go back for their MBA. And then about the other 40%, I call them domain experts. So we want people who are experts in the business because it's that synergy that makes it work. We need both. It's not exclusive either way.
Gary? You've got just one more. We're at time. Go ahead, and then I've got one closing one.
I imagine as you were going through this process, you were seeing some functional gaps and functional misalignments with marketing, product, and sales. Have you decided how you're going to, or is there going to be any functional organizational changes so that you can effectively deliver on the gold standard?
Like most things in life, this is a journey, and it's gonna move forward. Do I have that in the vision? You bet. Do we have specific plans today on doing that? No, we got it. This has been more than a full-time job getting to this point, but logically, yes. I think we're going to, those communities are finding out that they have people that do, for instance, the same thing with very different job titles and people with the same job titles who do very different things. So there's an alignment and a core and a kind of a calibration that I think is going to flow through this, and then it will ultimately maybe lead to that, but we're not quite there yet.
Okay, so last question before we give this man a round of applause. So tomorrow we're going to hear some great news about Chicago. We're going to win that Olympic bid, right? Yeah. Are we going to do that? And Chicago is becoming a real hub for green entrepreneurship, and there's no company doing it better than GE.
Thanks.
Tell us a little bit about GE and Chicago and how we in Chicago, all of us, mm-hmm. can work closer with you, with Beth, with Jeff, and your colleagues.
That's a pretty big question. But I would say I would be willing to bet that there's no better company that's got themselves in more green areas from a technology and environmental standpoint than GE, and I think we've kind of got the collaboration and community bug. I mean, we were very much internally focused until pretty recently, and I think we got it now, but we don't have the answers on how to do it. So I would say collaborating, whether it's through the mayor's office, through making contacts with various businesses, if you got ideas, if you just, you keep poking. I mean, we specifically have an eco-imagination team which oversees all this, and that's a great place to start, but we want to work. In fact, we've decided internally cities are the places to go. And so, last time I checked, it's a pretty big city. We know that you're green.
And we're delighted
we want to
have
work
you
with
here.
You. Thanks, everybody.
Give this man a round of applause. Wait, before you step down. We know that Steve is an amateur astronomer, and he studied under Carl Sagan, so we have a little gift here in the astronomy
area. In the astronomy area,
yes.
My goodness.
So thank you very much. It's a telescope, if I'm not mistaken. But
yes,
you may
it
have
is.
One, but now you've got another.
I can always use it. Yes, it's a stargazing set of binoculars with a map. Thank you.
Great. Give this man a hand. Well done, Steve. All right, before we lose everybody, a couple of quick messages. Marla, thank you for everything you and your team have done. Real quick, We've got a post-event survey. Please fill it out. Back in that corner, we're going to be doing online video reactions to today's talk. This is a world-class speaker. We want your feedback. We have some upcoming events. Let's keep them in mind. We've got the social media series on October 21st, and most importantly, in our Masters in Marketing program, November 5th, Nancy Baggett, the VP Global Market Strategy from Intel, will be right here on this podium. There's a whole lot more. Today's BMA Day. There is a trip to Google. Google is hosting us right after lunch, so go there and be a Googler. And last but not least, there is mini golfing tonight. Marla, rain or shine. Thank you again, Steve. Great work. We are adjourned.